Yeah, so Don's been gone all week, got home late last night. He asked me to do this today. He tells me to forgive him if he falls asleep in the middle of my message. And you're right. So Horace, you know, Horace always gets up here and he talks about how Don's going to give us a message about love and encouragement and everything, and it'll be so uplifting. And I've always thought, you know, what would happen if Don got up here and just wanted to really preach about fire and brimstone or something sometime? Anyway, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Horace's scripture ended up talking about God's love for us, and that's what I want to talk about today. Let me get my notes and scripture to start with. I'm looking at in Ephesians here. I guess I should need my glasses. Ephesians 3, verse 19. It says, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." You know, John and I are just so blessed to be a part of this congregation here.
Yes.
We know this is where the Lord has us at this time. We've been in several different churches down through our adult life. And they've all been good. They've all been good. And we never left any of them in a bad way. You know, that is, we were still friends with the people there and they loved us and everything. And the church we were in Ohio, the pastor and other people from there come down and visit us here now and everything, and all that's fine. But we know that when we were thinking about moving down here, it'll be 6 years ago come June. We sought the Lord about it and everything, and we knew this was what he wanted us to do. And one of the real things that we love about this church is Don's message of God's love. That's his big thing. He keeps telling us that God loves us, and more I'm beginning to really believe it. But anyway, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about God's love, and I want to talk about God's love in the way that we just see it in what we do, quote, every day and things that are going on around us. And so, first of all, let me just I made a little list here of ways that God shows his love to us. And I'm not going, I mean, I could give a message or somebody could give a message by every one of these, but I'm going to pick the last one particularly today. So first of all, you know, sending Christ to die for our sins. Of course, you know, that's the biggest thing. What Jesus did for us on the cross, that we can approach the Father and our sins are forgiven. Two, by answering our prayers, praise him. By giving us wisdom and solutions, seek God when you need help. I don't do that as quickly and as often as I should, but at any rate, it's great. By directing our steps, by giving us peace, by comforting us, by healing us, by protecting us. And then the last thing I say, by caring about every aspect of our lives, every aspect of our lives. So I want to give some personal examples that Joan and I have experienced in our Christian walk. And of course, you know, I need to start with my salvation, but I'm not going to go through it again because I've done it N times here. Something like that. But still, you know, when God supernaturally put it in me that Jesus is alive, it still was the single time in my life where I really felt God's presence and love in the most strong and direct way that I have ever experienced it. And I just knew that God was there and he cared about me. And it really was supernatural. Okay. But what I do want to mention from that time, and that was in March of 88. So whatever that is, like 30 some years ago. You know, it was a very exciting day and everything. And I mentioned, you know, that night I went up to go to bed, and we had two cats at the time, and they slept on our bed. And I developed allergies to the cats, and I had a miserable night every night. I almost never could sleep through the night. I'd get up and have to go take something or another and sit up and read or something, because I would just so get congested and everything because the cats slept on our bed. I mean, there was a reason why they did that. We got a dog for the kids, and the dog was downstairs, and the cats wouldn't associate with the dog and so forth. Anyway, but I remember just lying down that night and just thinking, oh, Lord, I'd really like a good night's sleep after all this. And I just laid down and I went to sleep, and I slept through the night, and I never had any trouble again with cat allergies for the next 4 years until those cats died at age 18. And then after the cats died, I don't know why, it slowly came back. I've got it again now. Okay, and I prayed that it would not be there, but I mean, it was God just confirming that it really was him. I mean, it just was that night, just boom, like that, and for 4 years, nothing. These kinds of things, you know, it's way that we know God just is showing his love to us. And while I'm doing this, I'd like to encourage everybody here to think about times when you have felt God's presence and love in a strong way, and something that's happened. And it can be a very ordinary sort of thing. Another example was several years ago, we were traveling somewhere, and it was summertime, and it was just Joan and I in the car, and a really bad thunderstorm came along. I mean, one of these real soakers, and the wind was blowing, and thunder and lightning and everything. And we stopped the car underneath an overpass or something, you know. But the wind was so strong, the car was shaking, and it just was pouring and everything. And it had gone on for about 10, 15 minutes. And finally, Joan just said, somewhat to my surprise, "This is not right. This is not right. This is evil." And she says, "I'm going to come against this." And she just started praying against it and asking the Lord to take care of this. And boom, just like that, it all stopped. Now, you can say it's a coincidence and everything, but I knew at the time, no. I kind of looked at her like, "Oh, you are a powerful woman. You have a good friend, a very good friend." Okay. There are times like that, I think, for all of us, where we just know it was God's touch. It was God's touch. And him just showing his love to us. And in that same regard, you know, often I'm just dealing with something during the day. I can't find something. And I go around. And all too often, it finally takes Joan to say, "Well, why don't you pray about it?" I don't know about you. She says, maybe this is harder for men than for women or something. But, you know, when I'm having trouble with something, I want to solve it myself. I really do. And I don't run to God right away. And I should more often. But usually in those situations, if I'll stop and just say, "All right, Lord, help me." It's amazing how often in the next few minutes I find it or the problem is solved. So, for example, this last Friday, I got one of these messages that said my main email account might be compromised. And I thought, well, okay, you know, I need to change the password on it. And I don't do it as often as I should. I do it about once a year. I thought, all right, I'll go change the password on my main email account so that, you know, in case somebody's trying to hack it, it'll make it more difficult for them. And I go on the computer to do this, and it's done through Kent State University. It's Gmail, but it's all monitored by Kent State University. And I've done it before. And I do it, and I get some kind of funny message that comes up. And it looks to me like it worked all right, but there's a message that says there may be some problem with this. All right, but then if I've changed that, you know, in order to get email on my phone and on my tablet and everything, I have to go in and change the password in there for that email account. So I get my phone and I try and put that in, and it doesn't work. It won't work. And I keep trying different things you know, some of the old passwords and everything. At any rate, I really was stupid about it. And I tried it too many times and it finally locked me out. It said, you've tried to log into this too many times. You cannot do this. See your plan administrator or something like that. And then, you know, just because I'm really stupid, sometimes I picked up the tablet and did the same thing with the tablet. Okay, now I'm completely locked out. And I, you know, what am I going to do? And so, you know, I unloaded on Joan and I get the usual thing. Well, why don't we pray about it? So I pray about it. And a peace just kind of comes over me and says, okay, you just need to take a deep breath and go and actually contact the plan administrator at Kent State University, you know, one of the techie guys and everything, and see what's going on. And so I do that and I get on and everything. And he goes and he finds it and he says, oh, yeah, I can see where you did this. And for some reason, it wouldn't update. He says, I don't know why it wouldn't update for you, but I'll make it update. And so he makes it update, you know. But then I still can't do it because I tried too many times to, all right, now they've finally accepted my new password and everything. And, but then I just, again, I prayed about it at the time. It's like, well, just wait a day. You know, a lot of these things are, it's too many times in one day, just wait a day. And it was just from the Lord, really. Just take it easy, Brian. Just relax, wait a day. And sure enough, I got up yesterday on Saturday and I tried it and it worked fine. Worked fine. But I was, you know, I couldn't even take my nap on Friday, which I always like to do, because I knew I'd just lay there and stew about it and everything. But as soon as I prayed about it, a peace came over me. Okay, just do this, just do that. All right. And praise God, it worked.
Yeah.
So then there are things like Joan's dementia. She's willing to admit that she has some problems with short-term memory and some dementia and everything. And of course, we've prayed about this a bunch. And you know, she's better.
Mm.
Not all better, but she's remarkably better than she was a year ago. Okay. Well, we've had a few things done since then. She's gotten some new meds and she's had a bit of an operation, but the operation was supposed to just affect balance. Okay. It was to release water pressure on the brain. But her short-term memory is greatly improved and her ability to participate in conversations and be there in the now and just talk and everything. It's just, it's actually very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, she has a little bit of trouble with short-term memory, but it's amazing. It's amazing. Okay. And we mentioned this, you know, you do a follow-up with the guy who did the operation and he was kind of incredulous a little bit, like, well, I didn't think this operation really had anything to do with short-term memory and that sort of thing. It just has to do with balance. But any rate, but we know God's hand is on this and God and Joan is doing great. And I just love it. I just love it. Praise God. Okay, but now I want to come to actually what the examples I mostly wanted to talk about today, and I think it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led me this way. And this is, quote, a heavy topic. God is even with us in death, in dying. And I'm not just talking about, okay, we're going to be in heaven. Okay, that's fabulous. It's fantastic, and I completely believe it. And I've seen evidences of it in various ways. But let me just give you some examples of how God can be with us in dying. Now, I understand, you know, sometimes there are just sudden tragic deaths, and it's just, it doesn't seem good. I've lost a couple close friends in car accidents and that sort of thing, and I don't know. But my first example is Joan's father. Maybe I've given this example here before, but Joan's father is a fine Christian man. You know, he's one of the leaders in the Methodist Church there in upstate New York, where he was for decades and everything, and a really great guy. And, you know, a pillar of the community, honest as the day is long, and just a fine fellow. And he really knows how to raise nice daughters. Okay? He and his mother. But he was a bit of a hypochondriac. Mm-hmm. And he would complain a lot about, oh, I have this problem, or I have that problem. And when he got older, like into his 60s or something, you know, he sort of acted like almost every problem he got, you know, he's probably dying, you know. And he seemed to be really fearful about dying. And sometimes he would be having trouble, you know, pain in the chest or something like that. And he would be almost beside himself. But if we get him to the emergency room or something and let him talk to a doctor, and the doctor would say, no, no, it's not that. It's just this. It's just your hiatus or hernia.
Yeah,
or whatever, something like that. And then he would be okay. I mean, he would be reassured because the doctor told him he's not dying. Okay. And this played out any number of times. But then it finally came to the point where he actually was dying. He was 84 years old. He was in the hospital there in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And it was heart problem. And it was quite serious. And it was clear he probably was dying. And I remember I was there talking to him. And yeah, he's surrounded by the doctors and everything, but they had let him know, you know, you may not make it through this. And he didn't, and everything. But he was talking to me, and all of a sudden he just said, he said, you know, whatever happens here, it'll be okay. He said, you know, if it's my time to go, I'll be in heaven and I'll be with Jesus. And if I don't make it, well, then I'll get to go home and be with my family. Either way is all right. And I just looked at him totally like, what'd you do with Joan's dad? This is not the way he was. Okay. And that peace just came over him. And like 2 days later, he died. And he died peacefully. And he wasn't upset. And he wasn't like, oh, I'm dying and all that. There was just a real peace that came over him. And I've seen this also with my mother. My mother lived to be 92. My father died at 76, and my mother was eight. My dad was 8 years older than my mother, and so my mother wound up living 23 years after my father passed. And she lived in the house that he had built for them to retire into. He was a carpenter, small time building contractor, out in some nice woods just outside of town in Rockford, Illinois. And that house was a big thing for her, you know, and she took care of that house fantastically for those 23 years, you know, get the furnace replaced, get roof repaired, whatever, and people to keep up the lawn and so forth. And the house was a big thing. Well, when she's finally dying, and she's in a home, you know, but with intensive care and everything and all that. And her problem is she's got gangrene in one leg. And they had already moved a vein from somewhere else in her body into her leg because of circulation problems, and they just couldn't do it anymore. And they told her, you know, the only way you could get through this is if we amputate the leg. And she's like, no. No, I mean, she had enough other problems and stuff, and she's just like, no. And they said, well, then, you know, the infection's going to spread into your body, and said, and she just accepted it. And we would come and go, you know, this went on for a couple weeks or something, you know, and we talked to her and we try and tell her about, oh, you know, we're taking care of your house, we're getting this done and everything. You know what? She wasn't interested. She just didn't even care about the state of the house anymore. And that had been a big thing for her all that time. And you could tell just as you talked to her, even though she was there mentally and everything, she was already mostly somewhere else. I mean, she was a believer, not very devout, raised a Catholic, had some trouble with the Catholic Church, German Catholic, as a child and everything. And she never really fully trusted churches after that. But at any rate, You could tell she's kind of had like 1 foot already in heaven. I mean, she would listen to us, but, you know, she wasn't that interested in what we were saying about what was going on in town or nationally or whatever, anything, you know. But she would talk to us. But and Joan found a pamphlet somewhere she gave to me. And apparently this is a common thing with people when they're dying. To get to a point where it's, and I believe it's God, but something clicks in there and they know they're transitioning. They're moving from this world to another world. And it's okay. I mean, it actually makes the transition better. They're not scared. And I love it. Third example, my sister, Becky. She died of ovarian cancer when she was 62 years old. She contracted this cancer. The doctors think because of some fertility drugs she was taking earlier on in her life in order to have children. My sister had a tough life. It wasn't easy. She had ups and downs in life, and she and her family never had very much money and that sort of thing. They did okay, but not well. And things were generally tough. And she was a very upset person. She wasn't pleasant to be around. She felt like, you know, life hadn't been good to her, and she just was a bit mad about it all the time. And when we lived in New Mexico, she spent some time in Albuquerque, and she'd come up and visit with us for a weekend up in Los Alamos and everything. And we always kind of dreaded it because she'd just bring the whole place down for the weekend. I mean, it was just like this black fog comes in. Anyway, but her whole adult life was kind of that way. And she didn't know the Lord as her Savior. So she gets ovarian cancer. And Joan and I and her husband's brother and his wife go to see her in the hospital where she's being treated for this. And we talk to her and everything, and we ask her if we can pray for her salvation. And she says, yeah. And we pray, and she receives it. And she really did receive it. To my amazement, I thought, not she's going to be really mad now at God. I mean, that's who you're really mad at when, you know, life isn't going the way you want in the way. But she received it. And you know what? Her demeanor completely changed. They said, you'll probably live about 18 months. And she doubled that. She lived about 3 years after that first diagnosis of stage 4 cancer. Yes. And she was more pleasant during those 3 years than she'd been in her whole adult life before that. I mean, she really was nice to be around and everything. And the fact that the cancer may have been caused by the fertility drugs didn't bother her because she really wanted those children and she really loved those children. And she said, I'd do it again in order to have those children and everything. And she just was more pleasant. She was dying. I mean, she went through chemotherapy. She was physically miserable and so forth and so on, but she was pleasant. She was pleasant, and she was just glad for those last 3 years, and she wasn't mad at God that she was about to die and so forth. I mean, this is not natural. It's God, you know. God can be with us even in death. And I want to end this. When I was thinking about doing that, I was like, well, you know, talking about God being there and dying. And again, I know sometimes it's just a tragic death and everything. And of course, death is always hard for us, the death of a loved one. And God made us that way. And, quote, that's okay. But anyway, when I was thinking about this, we do daily devotionals from a couple different sources, John and I, every morning. And I came on this one on Monday, and it just sort of reinforced with me that this is what I should do now. I'll try and not think about this while I'm reading it, because I did this again yesterday with Joan, and I had trouble making it through. And Joan says, if I don't make it through, she'll finish reading this for you.
I did.
Okay. This woman says, deep in sleep, I woke up with a start. Something was terribly wrong. An urgent need to pray enveloped me. Father, someone needs you. Send your angels to surround them. I prayed into the dark, quiet night. After a while, the sirens came, and I knew something bad had happened on the highway at the foot of our hill. My prayers were more intense now because I realized God had involved me in something beyond my imagining. Finally, everything grew quiet, and I drifted back to sleep. A few days later, I saw a makeshift memorial had risen up by the road. Someone had died there. Had God used my prayers to summon angels to comfort them? Still, there was more. I was haunted by the memorial, and though I resisted at first, I finally made my way down to the place where flowers, notes, and sentimental objects had been placed. Searching the poignant leavings, I pieced together the story of a teenage girl's short life. Now came the angel whispers, call her mother, write her a note. No, I responded. Her mother must be in shock. She might think I'm crazy. I don't want to add to her pain. And I would have left it there, but the angel whispers, parentheses, yes, some interpret them as the Holy Spirit, wouldn't leave me alone. So finally, I wrote the letter. I described the sudden awakening and all that followed. I held my breath and mailed the letter. The call came several days later. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A mother sobbed. I haven't stopped praying for a sign that my daughter wasn't alone when she died. You have answered my prayer.
Amen.
So again, that's it. It's what the Holy Spirit had me talk about today. And let me just pray a little bit. And then again, if something came to you, quickened to you about something God just did, I mean, it could be a dramatic thing or just an everyday sort of thing where you knew it was God and you felt his presence and his love at that time. So Lord, you are with us. You're with us always, and you're with us in everything, everything little and everything big. And we love it. You are our God. We are your people, and you are for us. You are for us, and you're aware of everything that touches us. And we thank you for that. You are that big of God that you keep the whole universe operating, and you're aware of every hair on our head. We thank you, God, because you do love us, just as our pastor keeps telling us. And we thank you for that, that you are this kind of God.
Yes.
In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.